Ray, I have a question for you. Did you ever possibly like smoke marijuana in front of children after being a recognized drug expert in New Zealand and running a drug prevention center? You would have never done that, all right?
Can't remember.
Yeah, marijuana does affect your memory.
You never let me forget.
Ray, you smoked marijuana in front of children
Yeah, it was
when you were a drug prevention
I love this
expert.
Story, and I think I've heard it 100 times. Please tell it again.
Most memorable movie moments. What's yours, Ray? Okay, I'll tell you mine first.
If you hit my mother again, I will kill you.
Rocky?
No, Smurfs.
Oh,
what? For real?
No. Shaka Zulu. You
What
remember
is that?
Shaka
Is that
Zulu?
like a Lebanese
Zulu.
movie
You're
you
too
grew up
young,
watching?
Oscar. You wouldn't know. Shaka Zulu. Remember Shaka Zulu, Mark?
I remember the name, but I'm drawing a blank.
Ray, Shaka Zulu?
No.
What? It was like the biggest TV series of
In
all time.
Lebanon. It's like Lebanese Disney.
Oh, it was on Saturday mornings for the little kids.
Yes.
If you hit my mother.
No, it was when I was a kid, I think elementary school, they played that trailer to death. That was my favorite part of the movie.
Was it a cartoon or a movie?
No, it was like it was about African tribes.
I have a question.
Shaka Zulu. Shaka Zulu.
I have a
question for you. The listeners will know. You
yeah, sure they will.
Understand this stuff.
When does your flight to Hawaii leave?
You like my nice shirt?
I do, actually.
What'd you call it when I walked in here? My retirement
Your retirement shirt.
Do they make them for women?
It is.
I mean, men. What a blown line.
You know what? As a kid, oh, that's crazy you brought that up. As a kid, I went probably a whole year wearing a girl's shirt, and I never even knew it.
Really?
Well, I ended up realizing the way you
know buttons are on the other side.
The way you know it's a girl's shirt, because the buttons, yeah, are on the,
on
other,
the
side.
Other side.
I had no idea.
I used to make jackets, and the buttons were always on
it's
the
like
other
you
side.
With the girl's bike, right?
It was not a girl's bike.
Ladies' bike.
It was a lady's bike.
Oh. Get sorry.
Right, buddy.
Side note, real quick. Did you guys see that new documentary about origami?
What?
There's a new documentary on origami. Have you not streamed it? It's so good.
Are you serious? You
know? No, the punchline.
I'm waiting for the punchline.
It's on pay-per-view.
You know, oh, I shouldn't have laughed at that. Paper. I should
it was,
not have
no, it was
laughed
a dad
at that.
Joke. So no water for him. That's fine. Okay.
You know, I do feel weird. I did hesitate to wear this to the office. It does look pretty casual. Huh?
We don't go by feelings easy. It is weird.
Oscar.
I like you have a complex now.
Yeah, I know. Favorite movie moments, guys. Don't try to get away.
I just gave mine, but I was totally ignored.
Of course.
No, what was it?
No water for him.
I knew it. I had it. Did I write it down?
What was no water for him?
Yeah, of course.
Ben-Hur.
Ben-Hur. Yeah.
No water for him. I said, no water for him.
That is pretty good.
Actually, Easy and I know water for him all the time.
You guys, any favorite movie moment?
I have one.
Oscar, do you know what that is, what we're talking about?
No Ben-Hur.
Yeah, but do you know
it's
what the...
Yeah, it's motion pictures. It's
yeah,
like
yeah, no,
30
no,
frames
no.
per second.
The scene.
It's a comedy.
No, it is not. Well, the scene. Do you know what it's about? Jesus gave a drink to Ben-Hur as he's dying of thirst. And the Roman guard, just as I said, no water for him. And you see Jesus stand up from the back, which
you
is wonderful.
You see the back.
Do you, you know what's interesting?
I haven't finished. and the Roman soldier comes under incredible conviction looking on the face of Christ. Oh, it just gives you goosebumps. Okay, carry on, Oscar.
I just realized as you were endlessly talking that I've actually not seen Ben-Hur since becoming a Christian.
Oh, such must, a good yeah. movie. It's hard to believe they actually did it. And that was it the 30s or 40s or 50s?
It was the 50s.
1850s.
But really, it is hard to believe they did because it was pretty big production.
Huge.
It was an epic.
Yeah. 11 Oscars.
But Ray, your other favorite part.
11 Oscars.
We only have
was
one.
It really?
Yeah.
Rowell, 99.
No, you're thinking of...
Get Smart?
You're thinking of Get Smart.
99, hand me my shave fine.
Oh, imagine combining the two.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, Scotty never started the clock. We don't even know how long we're going for today.
Too long. 43.
Oh, well.
And live.
All right.
41.
Sorry. There we go. He started it now. One second.
It was 41.
Oh, yeah. Say it, right?
Hang on. That's good, 41. Row well and live.
Row well and live. Was it like that? Yeah.
Why does it go so high pitch?
Boy, movies have become so bad these days. We use VidAngel, and what's the other one, Mark?
ClearPlay.
If you haven't heard of those, friends, check them out. They're really great. They clean everything up for you. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you just watch anything wholesale because you have to have a redemptive theme. But
that's it.
You know what else works?
Takes the average 3-hour movie down to 2 minutes.
Yeah. Pretty I was going to say, the other thing that works is just hitting mute and closing your eyes.
Yeah.
You know, find the worst possible movie you can find with the most terrible language and then have it put every single thing that you can have taken off on there. I wonder what it would actually be like.
It'd be Wolf, oh. 40, Wolf of Wall Street, I think, would be the worst.
What was the number of curse words?
It was the F word was 400 or 500 times, and they cursed the name of Jesus and the name of God throughout the whole movie.
Remember that one movie? It had the guy from The Love Boat on it. Oh, Time Changer or something. Anyways, yes. Remember that when the guy walked out of the
just
theater?
Just wonderful.
What? Share it for the people.
He was taken back in time. He was taken from back in time to the modern era. Went to the movies, was very fascinated to see the big screen. And then you see him burst out and say to the attendant in the lobby, "They blaspheme the name of the Lord. Stop this. Yeah. Stop this." And it was so moving. That
he came out in a panic, in
he
a total
was
panic.
Shock and panic.
They blaspheme God's name.
Yeah, that's what we should all be like whenever we hear blasphemy. I mentioned this morning in a text that I thought I'd see how Penn Jillette is doing. Haven't thought about him. Oh, I pray for him every day, but I haven't seen what he's up to. And I got a video. It was really interesting, and that he blasphemed the name of Jesus. Horribly.
Oh, really?
And it actually made me gasp. It was just like, sin should always shock us.
Yeah.
And it says in, I think, the book of Jeremiah, neither could they blush because their conscience is so dead.
I did watch the first episode of the new Rings of Power series, and it was really good.
Is it the Amazon Prime?
Yes, it was really good.
Poe. What, you didn't say your favorite movie moment, Oscar?
Oh. Well, the one that comes to mind, because I just preached on it, is Toy Story, when Lightyear looks down. The first one, when Buzz Lightyear. So if you guys, I'll make this really quick.
Please.
Through the whole movie, Buzz is trying to prove that he's the real Buzz Lightyear, and he's obviously not. He's just a toy. And towards the end of the movie, that reality comes crashing down on him. He tries to jump off of a ledge because he thinks he can fly. And he plummets down to his death, breaks his arm, and in the next scene, he is utterly depressed because the identity that he tried to give himself turned out to be not true. And so he's sitting there, like, with no purpose in life. And Woody's trying to get him to muster the energy to save him, to you know, be a hero and to get back to home base. And so Buzz is taped to a rocket about to be exploded. And he says, "What's the point? I'm just a toy." And in that moment, Woody looks at him and goes, "Just a toy. Just a toy. Buzz, over there is a kid who thinks you're the greatest, who loves you." And in that moment in the movie, Buzz looks down at the sole of his shoe and he sees a name written there, Andy. And it's in that moment that Buzz finds the will to live. He finds purpose. And so the whole point is, the thing that gave Buzz Lightyear purpose is not what he could do, but who he was loved by.
Wow.
And that to me is a picture of our understanding of our status before God, being adopted, being loved by him. What gives us sanctifying power, what gives us purpose in this life is not anything we can do, but the fact that we are loved by a God in heaven who has forgiven us of our sins.
Hmm. I feel shallow now. I was just going to say, like, Nacho Libre or...
Why have you not
Dynamite.
Yet been baptized? Yeah. Thank you, Oscar, for that very spiritual application.
You have to spiritualize everything?
Sorry.
Yeah, Oscar.
Buddy.
Well, here's something super spiritual. A comment from one of our listeners. Subject line, great podcast. Biblical, encouraging, informing, challenging.
Stupid.
Idiots. I love what you guys are doing. Riding the bus on my way to school is made so much better by hearing Rat Comfort, Wheezy's Wayne, Mark, and Oscar. Why did these two get a pass?
Just the names.
Rat Comfort. I love it. Feedback. As long as it would not impact the quality of the podcast, I would love to have more episodes weekly. Yes, it would impact the quality. Otherwise, we do it every day.
I noticed you're not even trying to say the names now.
No, not even. Oh, this podcast is brought to you by Scientific Facts in the Bible. 100 Reasons to Believe the Bible is Divine in Origin.
I
but
see
wait,
that book.
If you call now, we'll give you two copies.
I see that wait. Book time and time again in airports.
Oh, I do too.
All the time. I turn him around and I put a different book in front of him.
Yeah. When Luke and I were going to...
Who's Luke and I?
New York. I saw it in the airport. It's always in airports, right? What's that book about, Ray?
It's the same book.
A different cover. Anyway, friends.
I haven't read it.
Ray doesn't know. Livingwaters.com. Check it out at livingwaters.com. All right. Today, guys, we are talking about the question, can Christians smoke weed?
That's a crazy question, because of course they can. Anyone can.
Of course they
should
can.
Should they?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, boy, you know, it's crazy the things that have been legalized. You look up articles and things and you see that there was a time in American history where like insane things were not legal. And those articles in a way can become defunct because things have been legalized now. So Ray, did you ever think, honestly, that there would be the legalization of marijuana here in California?
I did so. Yeah, I used to be in charge of the Drug Prevention Center. I was the director.
Yeah, we know that. We'll talk more about that later, so don't give any details.
Really? We are?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I thought it would come. It had to come because that was out of proportion. Guys were getting 30 years in jail for possession of marijuana. I thought, this is just crazy. Yeah. You know, when murderers are getting an average of 6 years, and I thought there has to be some sort of change going to happen in the future. But it has really swung further than I thought it would swing. But I've always thought, crazy to legalize marijuana when there's such slaughter on the roads because of alcohol. Marijuana doesn't exactly sharpen up your thoughts.
Yeah, I never thought it would happen. I really didn't.
You're not prophetic.
No, I just...
Pathetic.
It's just one of those things where you think that they're really not going to do that, but they did it. So we want to talk about marijuana, but before we get there, I want to start with alcohol.
Okay, pass me a drink.
Pass it over, brother. No, I want to start by talking about alcohol because... Here's what I think the problem is, both with marijuana and alcohol. For a long time, Christians took the standpoint of, well, it's an easy one, right? We're called to submit to the governing authorities. Marijuana is illegal. You don't smoke marijuana. Obviously, that's changed. On the flip side, well, alcohol used to be illegal, right? Didn't it? Wholesale?
At one point.
Yeah. Then moonshine, they were doing the moonshine thing.
I think it was illegal to buy, but not to drink, right? Wasn't there a thing? It was like a weird thing.
How could you... Buy it, but not
drink. I don't know.
I'm going to have it on my shelf.
Bring it over from
Cuba. Totally, yeah.
Like the cigar.
Pretend like I didn't just say that because I'm probably wrong.
Yeah. Anyway, there was a time when I believe it was outlawed to some degree. But now, obviously, it's been legal for many, many years. But I think the other extreme is that Christians have the perspective of, well, drinking alcohol, you know, is legal, so we can do that. But they're not cautious. They're not thoughtful as to the ramifications associated with that. So let's jump into it. What do you guys
jump into the alcohol
on that? Yeah, Ray. By the way, I have my microphone to the side. I saw you gesturing to me over there because
yes, you're not going to sound deep and resonant.
Hello.
Like you like to sound.
How are you?
Faces to the side.
Yeah, no, it's good. Go ahead. Alcohol.
I have nothing to say.
Okay, thank you for joining.
Drink
us.
It up. No, Mark, what do you got?
What do you really want to know? Right, I mean. There are a lot of scriptures. The idea is to not be mastered by the alcohol, to not get drunk. There's a fine line because you have to know your limits, and you won't know your limits until you really start to drink. You know, for the sake of the ministry and for appearance sake, I don't drink. And I mean, the last time I ordered a beer, I was 21 years old. I'm 50 years old now, and I ordered it because I turned 21, and I was at dinner, and I don't even think I drank it. You know, we know that just drinking alcohol in and of itself is not sin. But if you are going to drink, right, you have to do it in faith because whatever is not of faith is sin. So you have to, with a clear conscience, approach alcohol with that manner. Scripture has a lot, obviously, to say about drinking. I won't get into all of that. I'm sure he's you.
Yeah. Let me share this quote by Randy Smith. I think it's important to kind of set the foundation for what we're talking about. He said, I do not believe scripture necessarily forbids a Christian from drinking alcohol. Consuming alcohol may be a sin, but I believe to declare that drinking alcohol is always a sin is a legalistic addition and should be avoided. We are free to abstain from alcohol. I personally think that it's the best position, but we are not free to condemn those who choose to drink in moderation.
You mean as Christians or non-Christians?
As Christians. Drink in moderation as being either sinful or less spiritual. Now, this in and of itself is controversial, because I know that there are a lot of believers listening right now. They're going, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Of course it's sinful to drink alcohol. We have a lot to say on this, but I do think it's important to establish this, because we can drift into sin by condemning our brethren or being condescending toward them when the scriptures don't specifically label something as sin. We're going to dig deeper, but Oscar.
Yeah, it actually is a very complex issue, and you're right. There's a lot of theologians that would actually disagree with that statement. And the reason why is because they would point to alcohol being, specifically wine in the scriptures, being a gift from God. And what we know about gifts from God is that men and women often distort those gifts and turn them into something evil. An example that is related to wine would be sex. Sex is a gift from God, and yet us as human beings have an incredibly sinful capacity to distort this beautiful gift that he has given us and make it into something atrocious. And that, unfortunately, is what we do with alcohol as well. But I would say, I think the distinction is important, because often what you'll hear people talk about or ask the question of, like, well, how is weed and alcohol different? First and foremost, alcohol in the scriptures is a very important theological symbol. And theological symbols it's important for us to realize that as modern men and women, we struggle to understand the importance of symbolism. So think about it like this. Symbols should not be disrupted, because when you disrupt a symbol, you disrupt the very meaning of that symbol. Okay, here's an example. The American flag. We all understand that as a symbol towards freedom, towards our history. And if you were to try to change the American flag, you would no longer have a symbol. If you changed it from red, white, and blue to green, orange, and yellow, you would distort the American flag. It would be considered a wrong thing to do. If you removed, you know, the stripes, if you took away some of the stars or changed the stars into squares, you would no longer have a flag, the American flag. You would change the very meaning of the symbol. In that same way, alcohol, I should say wine, all through the scriptures is a symbol of God's kingdom coming. And what we know is that the scriptures tell us that we shouldn't substitute. So as an example, one theologian put it like this: fermenting wine symbolizes the advance and maturation of God's kingdom. With the coming of Christ, new wine has been poured into old wineskins. The boundaries of the old covenant have burst. The gospel is no longer bottled up in Palestine, but has been uncorked and now runs over into Gentile lands. It is the air from the fermentation process which causes the old skins to break as the yeast transforms the liquid from grape juice into alcohol. This is a wonderful picture of both Christ's transformation from the old covenant to the new, as well as the effects of the gospel transforming the world as it spreads. And he goes on to talk about it is not by accident that Jesus' first miracle is turning water into wine. It was a representation that it was time to celebrate his coming kingdom. And it is by no accident that one of the very last things he does as a free man is have wine and break bread as a symbol of the kingdom being here and not yet, to remember his promises and that he is coming back. And so, first and foremost, to compare marijuana with alcohol is totally different.
Yeah.
Because alcohol, at least wine, we see as a blessing from God, as a symbol of his promises, and as a symbol of celebration to us. Mm. And marijuana is not in that same category.
Yeah, that's good, Oscar. Great, great distinction to make. Ray, I want to get your thoughts on this. This, again, is Randy Smith. He's the same guy who just said we shouldn't condemn other believers if they choose to use their liberty to drink. He went on to say this, though. He said, even if you are not violating any clear passages regarding the consumption of alcohol, here are a few thoughts to consider if you choose to drink. Are you in any way being deceived by alcohol? Does alcohol in any way damage your testimony for Christ? Does alcohol affect the positive example you are trying to set for your children? Do you in any way need alcohol to be a part of your life? Does alcohol lead you to commit other sins? Can you drink alcohol for the glory of God? So what do you think about that in terms of Christians being sensible to think through and not just be automatic? Oh, okay, we see examples of drinking alcohol in the Bible. And obviously, you know, we see Jesus turning water into wine and so forth. So therefore, I'm just going to drink. Here we go. Hey there, friends. You know, there are a lot of things that we delight to announce here on the Living Waters podcast, but today is what you call an announcement of extraordinary delight, because believe it or not, friends, a friend of Living Waters has donated thousands of dollars to go toward giving away free resources, free to you, but we're talking about $100 worth of resources, right, Oscar?
That's right. Every week, we are going to be announcing 10 winners. That's 5 winners per episode, 4 in the US, 1 overseas, and these winners are going to get a custom designed box. There's a box designed by you, Easy, which is the least exciting one. There's one designed by Ray, Mark, and then of course the best of the best is the one designed by me. And everyone, and every one of these, you're going to get tracks, books, a podcast mug, and again, we're going to be giving away 5 an episode.
Wait, that's my line.
Whoops.
Thank you for that. 5 winners per podcast. That's it.
Oh, and it's really easy to participate. Just go to livingwaters.com.
And friends, excuse this
slash podcast.
Very inept announcement. Make sure to
finished.
Listen to you the podcast.
Crazy. God, I got a whole stuff to read.
Oh, I thought you were done.
It's really easy to participate. It's really easy to participate. Just go to livingwaters.com/podcast and fill out the form.
There you have it, friends. If you're still listening, please make sure to listen to the podcast all the way until the end, where you will be hearing the announcement of the winners every week.
Yeah, the Bible condemns drunkenness. We know Noah humiliated himself and ruined his testimony right down through the ages. He's a hero in one sense, but he's recorded in the most famous book ever written, read by hundreds of millions of people, is lying around naked because he is boozed.
Yeah.
So alcohol makes you do things that you normally wouldn't do. It dulls the conscience. It's worse than that. I remember I was witnessing to a guy going to Australia on a plane for about 3 hours. Big guy, blondish hair. He was listening to me share the gospel with such intensity, he ordered 3 cans of beer while he was listening to me.
Wow.
And I turned to him and I says, you know, if you become an alcoholic, by the time you're 40, you'll be impotent. You'll be incapable of having sex. He spent the rest of his life biting the top of his can.
The rest of the talk?
Yeah, the rest of the flight.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the important next step as we discuss alcohol before we even get into marijuana, which is, okay, we have a theological understanding of what wine means. It is a gift, but now we have to take into consideration our culture. And the reality is that we live in a culture where you can say that the Jewish people lived in a culture in which wine was a symbol, a symbolic symbol in celebration. And it was probably a rarity that it was used as drunkenness, though it happened. In our culture today, it's not a symbolic celebration of what God is doing. Mm-mm. Instead, alcohol is perceived as a numbing mechanism.
Yeah.
To the extreme of alcoholism, but even to like your average attorney that gets off work on a Friday and was like, boy, that was a long week. I need a drink. That's not a healthy relationship with alcohol. Or drunken celebration. We grew up, you know, watching commercials of pool parties and drinking and consumption of alcohol, or toxic masculinity, a way of expressing your rage and outpouring lack of self-control. In other words, the very thing that the Bible condemns, drunkenness, is the very reason why most people drink today.
Yeah, it's true. You know, listen to this by Gene Getz. He said, drinking alcoholic beverages is outside of God's will when we overdrink or overindulge, become addicted, cause others to sin, hurt ourselves or others. And Mark, I want to touch on this because, you know, we're talking about the sinfulness of alcohol. We're talking about, okay, the fact that we can't condemn other believers and say it's a sin. But on the other hand, I think you and I have both seen in recent times the abuse of alcohol amongst young people. Like Oscar's talking about, it's become beyond, like he mentioned, celebration or done in moderation, but it's drifted into the realm of getting drunk. I mean, even at some Christian social gatherings, and it disturbs me.
Yeah, the thing that is still resonating with me that you had said just a few minutes ago, Easy, was needing it.
Yeah.
That I need to have it.
Yeah.
Because what we really need is Christ. That's what we need. We need Him.
Amen.
When we need anything other than Him, in this case, then it becomes a real danger. I have kind of an addictive personality, and I can't imagine, because I think, like, Easy, you and I alike, we kind of toe the line with being humorous when sometimes when we should be serious.
Right.
Right. And if I were to add alcohol to that, I think that I would be very obnoxious, even more than I am right now.
Yeah.
Pause for the jokes.
I don't think that's possible.
There it goes.
That's
one.
Impossible.
Two.
That can't happen.
Three. Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
Thought. Horrific. Mm-hmm.
And so one drink, I think, would always lead to two drinks for me. That I don't have that self-control, I think, to be able to stop after a half a drink or enjoy just the taste of wine with it. You know, I was a bartender at a pizza place, if you would, that had served all kinds of drinks. And that was even before I was 21. But I would see people, they would come in, regulars, and they would start off with just a beer here and just wanting to hang out for the fellowship. And over my 3 years of tenure there, they would turn really into alcoholics, that I saw them as they hung out with people. And then, of course, jesting and everything else would come about. You know, Vance Havner said, the alcoholic commits suicide on the installment plan.
Ooh, right? Wow.
One drink at a time.
Yeah.
So I want to always be in a position where my mind is completely sober, regardless of the situation and the time.
Yeah.
That I can make the absolute best decisions, whether it's trying to help someone or share the gospel with someone. And I never know if somebody's going to be offended by something that I might say or do.
Yeah. You know, I want to read something from one of John MacArthur's sermons.
Okay,
I think,
go ahead and do it.
I will.
No, you've seen you read. You know.
All right. Needed that pause. But listen to this by Spurgeon on drunkenness. He said, "Drunkenness is the devil's back door to hell and everything that is hellish. For he that once gives away his brains to drink is ready to be caught by Satan for anything."
Wow.
And it's true, you know, it's such a doorway to so much destruction. You just think of the devastation that alcoholism has wreaked in our world, in our country, the families it's destroyed, the people it has killed, not just by, you know, the result of alcohol, but even drinking and driving accidents and so on and so forth.
And the violence that comes.
Yeah, the violence that comes with it, so on and so forth. So it's important to remember that, again, striking that balance, we cannot be condemning, we cannot be condescending to other believers, but we have to think, we really do, especially with how the approach to alcohol has changed. But it's important, I think, to understand, too, the difference between the alcohol and the biblical times and the alcohol today. MacArthur said this. He said, the term wine or oinos in the ancient world then did not mean wine as we understand it today, but wine mixed with water or from a paste, completely without any intoxicating power because it had all been boiled out. Strong drink would be half and half or unmixed, and this was unacceptable to a cultured person to drink strong drink. Unacceptable. A document called the Apostolic Traditions indicates that the early church followed this custom, serving only mixed wine, whether from a syrup, paste, or a liquid base. Then you want to say this. The wine then of biblical times could well have been unintoxicating from a syrup base or marginally intoxicating because its fermentation had been diluted so much in the mixture with water. Taking a very conservative estimate, for example, if water is 3-1 mixed with wine, the level of alcohol would be between 2.25 and 2.75%, which is well under the 3.2% alcohol necessary to be classified as intoxicating drink. 4-1 would take you down to 1.8 to 2.2. And the only way you would possibly get drunk would be just to consume volumes of it. He also highlighted the fact that distillation, which drastically increased alcohol levels, wasn't invented until about 1,000 years after the New Testament era, which is where we get like real strong drink from.
Yeah, the Bible mentions strong drink. Proverbs 31, verse 6, it gives strong drink to those who are ready to perish because you help them get there quicker.
Yeah.
I added that last bit.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Oscar, you were going to say?
No.
Oh.
I disagree.
Yeah, I disagree. So again, he did some real deep historical research on that. He's not saying there wasn't strong drink. He was saying that typically it was understood that those that drank that kind of unmixed heavy alcohol were not viewed positively in that culture. So he's making the point that it's likely the alcohol that the Christians were consuming, not that it was not intoxicating at all, but the alcohol level was very, very low compared to what it is today. And you would have to drink a lot to get to that level of intoxication. And obviously, Scripture condemns it.
I think it's just so sad that some of the best advertisements on television are beer commercials.
Right? Super Bowl commercials?
They're so clever. They're so appealing. I don't like the taste of beer, but you get light behind that golden brown and the white color on the top, and you think, man, I'd love a good beer. And you don't even like the taste of it. It's horrible.
Yeah.
What they should do, instead of showing all these really good-looking people drinking beer, they should show a urine-soaked alcoholic lying in the street.
Right.
Honestly.
You show
like the average person who actually drinks that much and how out of shape and exhausted and miserable they are.
Yeah.
No, yeah, you're right. It's painted like everything is wonderful.
And also, a lot of movies, when someone visits, they don't say, sit down and have a meal. They say, have a drink. What would you like? A whiskey, a gin, or whatever. And it's just such a part of secular modern living that we don't need to be a part of as Christians.
Well, the way it's inserted into movies and TV shows, it's like they have the nice looking glasses and the ice and it just.
And there's another thing too. When someone takes a little whiskey, you know, a little shot glass. This is how they take the whiskey, put it in their mouth, and like it's horrible. And it is. I got behind my dad's bar when I was about 8 years old. My dad had a bar with all these alcohols and drinks in it, whiskey and gin. Yeah. I tried everything, and it was horrible.
Because you tried everything at once.
No. I spread it out, but just I snuck in there, and I think I tried vodka or gin, and it just tasted like perfume or something horrible.
Well, there's a reason you have what are called chasers, right? I mean, I did some shots when I was a teenager, and you do salt on your hand, and then you chase it with lime, you know, after you drink the hard drink.
I think that's a Southern California thing, because that's a Mexican thing. Well, I don't think everyone does that, though.
Oh, you chase. Oh, yeah. No, chase
with
hard
the lime?
Alcohol? Oh, yeah. With
no,
like,
I know what it is, but that's like a Mexican tradition that you're...
No, they do it here. Yeah.
Oh, you hit
it. Yeah, that's what I mean, because we're Southern California.
Maybe. And I thought it was universal.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
Anyways, go ahead, Oscar.
I can't remember what I was going to say. Oh, you know what? I was going to add to the conversation in the sense that...
Talk about how alcohol destroys the memory.
Yeah, that's what it is. What's interesting is that... So this isn't even really... It's a struggle that's been in America for a long time, even in the 1920s and on. Even the word cocktail... That word comes from the reality that that was an acceptable drink to have in the morning. So it was only considered acceptable to drink straight liquor in the evening times. And so you'd get up to go to work in the morning and it would make more sense for you to make an old fashioned for yourself because you were diluting it.
I don't even know what a cocktail is. Could you explain it?
A cocktail is hard alcohol mixed with syrups or citrus and things.
So it's diluted. That's what a cocktail is.
It is diluted, yeah.
Like a mimosa considered a cocktail?
Or
a margarita, stuff like that.
A margarita would be considered a cocktail. Yeah. An old-fashioned
It's so nice to be ignorant about alcohol, you know?
Champagne and orange.
Did any of you guys like being drunk? I didn't like it.
I loved it.
Really?
Yeah, I mean...
Because it got you away from the real you.
Before I got saved, I was starting to drink on the weekdays. That's how bad it was getting. Wow. I started out as a paranoid drunk, so I'd get drunk and I'd get paranoid. Like the cops are coming or
you'll like
something's
going to
happen.
Anyway.
Pretty much. It magnifies it. But then I would start getting really crazy and...
You'll like that anyway.
Can you imagine?
Real abrasive with people. It was terrible. But yeah, you didn't like it, Ray?
Well, I used to get drunk with my friends just before I became a Christian. I'd go out partying on Saturday nights. I'd drink a full bottle of apple cider, I think it was. They'd have six bottles of beer, and I'd get drunk like in 10 minutes. But the night before I got married, I had eight double Bacardis in a row.
Did you see?
Eight, and had 13 cigarettes, trying to see if there's anything in it. And from then, I've never touched it.
Ah,
that'll
do
it.
My mouth, with the 13 cigarettes, my mouth felt like a doormat.
Were you actually inhaling those cigarettes?
Yeah, I just wanted to say this.
Why didn't you do them one at a time? I mean,
I'd love to.
But I didn't even finish the packet. I thought, this is absolutely disgusting. I hate it. I'll never touch cigarettes again.
Yeah.
And yet I've come to live in Los Angeles where everyone smokes.
Oh, yeah. Roll your window up when you're smoking in your car. Get your money's worth. That was one of my favorite parts of one of your sermons.
So how do we apply what we learn about alcohol in scriptures to the other big question, which is weed?
Yeah. Let's transition over to that.
Pass it over.
Yeah. Ray, I have a question for you. Did you ever possibly like smoke marijuana in front of children after being a recognized drug expert in New Zealand and running a drug prevention center, you would have never done that, right?
Can't remember.
Yeah, marijuana doesn't affect your memory.
You never let me forget.
Ray,
yeah.
You smoked marijuana in front of children.
Yeah, it was
when you were a drug prevention.
I love this story, and I think I've heard it 100 times. Please tell it again.
Yeah, well, I was a well-known anti-drug campaigner, and I was invited to be on a panel. I used to be the director of the Drug Prevention Center in High Street, which is an unfortunate choice of street names for a drug center. But I get invites all over the place, and I was on a panel before 800 people with doctors and the drug squad and myself, and I shared the gospel, but it was a man-centered gospel. Anyway, afterwards, they had a lit reefer, or a couple of them, so parents would smell the smell of marijuana and be able to recognize it, because like 45 years ago, whatever it was, people didn't know what it was like. I was standing there talking to a mother and two kids when suddenly someone handed me a marijuana joint. We still call it joint?
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Joint. And instead of sniffing it and passing it on, I put it in my mouth and took a puff and passed it on.
Wait, so you had it in you? Were you holding on to it?
I was talking to them. Someone handed it to me to my...
Was that like... were you on autopilot? Was it...
I was on... I can't, you know, what do you call it? Think of two things. Couldn't even think of the right thing to say.
So you did inhale.
What's the right... No, yeah, I did inhale. I took it in my hand and instead of going and passing it on, I just went straight to my mouth and then just passed it on to my left hand to the person.
Just kept...
And then how did you exhale?
There wasn't very much. I'm only a little fella. And I just said, I just realized what I did. I thought, what did I just do? I don't know what the kids
did
react.
Did you say anything?
No, I just
carry on. Natural. I'm trying to imagine what these parents are thinking.
I know.
Drugs are terrible for you. Pass it on. Oh, Ray.
Just imagine Ray. Oh, that's some good weed right there.
So you heard it here first, friends.
Ray Comfort.
Ray Comfort smoked weed in front of children.
101 things not to do.
Yes. Yeah. So guys, this really has become something that has risen to the level of like a serious question where kids are saying, hey, what's wrong with it? It's legal. Why can't I smoke marijuana?
I've had several discipleship type questions like this with new believers at our church. This exact question. Where do we stand on this?
Yeah. So how have you handled it, Oscar?
Well, from my understanding, marijuana is an intoxicating drug. So again, a theological understanding of wine is helpful because they'll want to compare it to wine. But as we just talked about, wine, as it is portrayed in the scriptures, is an act of celebration. The purpose of wine that God gives us that gift is not, in fact, drunkenness. It's celebration and community. Where from everything you discuss with people who are smoking weed in a way that's casually. Is the goal is to get high, is to intoxicate your brain with the drug so that you experience something. And so in other words, the goal of wine in the scriptures is celebration and community. The goal of marijuana is drunkenness. From my perspective, it leaps right over what God has in mind when it comes to wine and jumps right into what God forbids when it comes to wine.
Agree.
And so when it comes to that sort of thing, I do not see a way in which you could with a free conscience smoke weed as a Christian.
That's good.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, Joe Carter wrote an article and he cites a gentleman named James Gustafson, and he talked about what's called analogical reasoning. Sometimes when we look at certain things in scripture, because there are certain things obviously that weren't around during the time of scripture or that scripture might not explicitly touch on, but that are obviously sinful. So he talks about what's called analogical reasoning. And he says this, those actions of persons and groups are to be judged morally wrong, which are similar to actions that are judged to be wrong or against God's will under similar circumstances in scripture, or are discordant with actions judged to be right or in accord with God's will in scripture. So he's saying, look, you're not going to have perfect correlations, but are there certain things that can be related to that appears sinful? So he says, is there an analogical action that is judged to be wrong or against God's will that is similar to the recreational use of marijuana? Indeed, there is a clear example that is mentioned frequently in the Bible, drunkenness. And he says, reasoning by analogy, we can determine that since it is sinful to become intoxicated by alcohol, it is sinful to become intoxicated by marijuana. And I think, you know, that's for the most part, what you were saying, Oscar. But yeah, you don't get, you can drink alcohol and not get drunk, but you can't participate in marijuana and not get intoxicated by it. So therefore, that's the only intent in using it. Right.
I've often heard people say God created marijuana. It's in the Bible. It's a weed. It's part of the curse. If you want to smoke a weed, go ahead.
Yeah.
Don't complain when you get sick. If you want to eat sand down the beach on a spoon, go ahead and don't complain when you're going to get sick. It's dumb to smoke, part of the curse. Take anything in the form of smoke into your body is just crazy. Your lungs are a gift of God. You don't want to destroy your lungs. And that's what smoking any substance does. I love it. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then it says that you may prove what is that perfect and acceptable and perfect will of God. And when you have God's will, you will not want. When you're in God's will, you won't want. I don't want to smoke marijuana. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. And I remember as a new Christian, and I think I've mentioned this before, driving along in my car, just rejoicing at my newfound faith as a Christian for about a day or two. And I remember I turned the radio off, which is just weird. I used to have it on for company. I turned it off and just said, I don't need that.
Wow.
I've got the peace that passes all understanding. I've got the joy that's unspeakable. That's the good. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why would I want to intoxicate myself, breathe in some burning weed to try and take myself out of a state when I've got the Lord? I've got the Most High. I don't need to get high. Scriptures say, my God shall supply all your needs, not all your weeds.
I think I found our intro right there to the show.
Yeah.
That's really great.
Ray, is it true that you spent an exorbitant amount of time in a marijuana cafe in Amsterdam?
Yes, I did. I was talking to
This is an Incriminate Ray episode.
Yes, it's easy to do. Yeah, we actually interviewed people. It was such a big deal, who were legally smoking marijuana in Amsterdam about, 15 years ago.
Yeah, because we went into a cafe, a marijuana cafe called The Grasshopper. This is what it was called. Mark, you were there, remember?
I was, but I don't remember the name. How would you remember
the
name?
How could I
like
forget
that?
It? They had like all these flavors of marijuana, bubblegum marijuana.
But they've got them over here.
Guacamole.
Marijuana.
I didn't realize, seriously, they got stuff like that. You check it out. It's just weird marijuana mixed
crazy.
Whatever.
But I mean, I don't know. We probably got high being in there from all the secondhand marijuana smoke. It was crazy.
Yes.
Yeah, and that was so long ago. And the guy was great with it who you were interviewing. But Mark, what about this verse as it relates to all this? 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. I will not be brought under the power of any.
Yeah, you know, I like what our friend Thomas Pertell says about, there's a lot of things that he has done inside this world. And when he leaves this life, there's very few things that he hasn't done. He wants to leave this place with some things still intact.
Yeah.
You know, if you're asking the question, you know, as a Christian, and you're in a position where you're saying, is recreational drug use okay? You're asking the wrong question, because it's not how close to the world, how much of the world can I smell like, what can I do and still kind of be cool with my friends or whatever it may be. It's demonstrating where you're really at. That is a litmus test to see where you're at with the Lord, because we should be asking ourselves, you know, how much can I look like heaven and still be useful down here, or something along the lines, right? I mean, I want to walk with God. I want every aspect of my life to be an act of worship.
Yeah.
Everything, whether you eat, drink, sleep, whatever you do all to the glory of God. I totally understand how somebody could have a glass of wine with a meal to the glory of God. I get it.
Yeah.
I can see how you can celebrate to that degree. And I disagree in part of what you had mentioned with John MacArthur about the alcohol levels and things of that nature. I see it. It's not for me. It's just not. I don't want to hang around. I'm not young, restless, and reformed to smoke my cigars and drink whiskey and talk theology. I just don't need to do that. I don't want to look like the world. And things like this, they look more like the world than they do like a church gathering. But I have brothers that disagree, you know, and they do their thing. And I'm going to stand before God on my own merits, not on what they do. John MacArthur said, it releases your self-control, and that's always a sin in reference to marijuana. I don't want to release my mind to anything other than Christ. It's really that simple, and I don't overthink things like this. And I've had these talks with my older boys as they come to me, as they're trying to wrestle through and think through alcohol, and marijuana is an easy one, you know, as Oscar's talking about here, because it's not related to the two. But man, I want to smell like Christ, not like marijuana.
That's good.
To the world.
That's a good word.
So was whiskey a wine? It's a dumb question, but I've often thought.
I don't know,
It's
actually.
A spirit.
Yeah.
Which is, fermenting process is very different than wine.
Oh, you know, let me say one important thing, too, about marijuana that's often overlooked, and this is in the spirit of Scripture, reminding us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we can't forget that. You know, and that's the fact that marijuana is really harmful to you. This is from Got Questions. It says, a recent study by the Journal of Neuroscience demonstrates that even casual marijuana use changes the brain and can lead to mental illness. And he cites USA Today and Journal of Neuroscience. The fact that children are being hospitalized due to accidental marijuana exposure also demonstrates the health risks. And let me just tell you guys, it really does have massive effects. I saw Mike Tyson interviewed recently. He has a cannabis business now, and he's always just smoking weed.
Could you understand his words?
He could not say, like, hardly say a full sentence, and they'd ask him questions, and he would just say things that made no sense at all. Maybe some will say because he got beat up on the head so many times, but I think, man, it really does impair your intelligence, your IQ, all kinds of things. Oscar?
Yeah, and often...
Oscar? Well, you know what comes to mind is always be ready to give an answer. I think if you're in a moment of drunkenness or being high, would you be ready to give an answer? Would you be prepared in that state of mind to proclaim the gospel? I don't ever want to be caught in a place where I'm unable to do that with a clear conscience.
I don't know why it's been dropped, but marijuana used to be called dope for my generation, and that was a good reason for it. It wasn't called weed. It was called dope because it made you dopey.
That's funny because my generation, dope is when someone does something cool.
Yeah. Seriously? Yeah. And your generation does something bad, they do something good.
Exactly.
This is from another government website. It says, marijuana use can have negative long-term effects. Marijuana can cause permanent IQ loss of as much
That's
as 8.
So you snug a lot.
We just figured it out.
I tried marijuana.
Personal experience.
I tried marijuana 4 or 5 times.
45 times.
As an unbeliever, as a teenager. And just one time it made me basically fall asleep. I'm so glad I didn't keep doing it. But anyway.
So we figured out what happened to his brain. Now we got to figure out what happened to his face.
Yeah. Marijuana can cause permanent IQ loss as much as 8 points when people start using it at a young age. These IQ points do not come back even after quitting marijuana. Studies link marijuana use to depression, anxiety, suicide planning, and psychotic episodes. And so on. Research shows that marijuana affects timing, movement, and coordination, which can harm athletic performance. And on it goes.
I guess Mark and I, because you never got high, right?
I did.
Oh, I'm only clear conscious.
Wait,
here,
you never what? Smoked weed, Oscar?
I never got high. Oh. I tried it a couple times.
Okay, like me. Okay. Yeah, I didn't really.
I didn't smoke marijuana.
Really?
No.
I thought you did, right?
Not in front of children.
You did smoke marijuana.
Just that one puff. I didn't inhale.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, friends, there you have it. We don't know how long we've gone today. We have gone over time.
We're
no question.
50 right now.
Yeah. How do you know? Did you start your timer?
No, because I...
Oh, just... yeah. You're estimating. But anyway, there you have it. Alcohol and marijuana. We hope we've covered it. We hope that we've given you something to think on.
Something to smoke on.
Something to smoke on and drink on. But, you know, as Mark cited, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And that's the question we have to ask ourselves. So be a Christian who thinks, who weighs things out, who gets counsel. Man, how important counsel is. Mm. You know, a lot of these young people just go out and do things at random without getting wise input and counsel and consulting most importantly with God's word. So there you have it, friends. Make sure to check out Scientific Facts in the Bible.
I've just remembered what that book's about. It's about scientific facts in the Bible.
Good, Ray.
Here's our main point. Instead of passing a joint to your friends, pass this podcast along to your friends.
Oh, I like it. Yeah, so make sure to do that and email us at podcast@livingwaters.com and please give us a rating, comment, and all that good stuff. And subscribe.
And get addicted.
No. Yes. To the podcast.
Of course.
Yes.
What else?
Please, get addicted. We'll see you here next time on the Marijuana Free and No Alcohol for some of us. Yeah. podcast. Oh, wait.
podcast.
All right, friends, it's that time again. I'm going to announce this week's podcast giveaway winners. We kick it off with Stone. Ooh, Stone. From Trustville, Alabama. And he says, yes, that's the name, Stone. Matt from Eureka, California. Jim from Ozark, Arkansas. JC from Louisville, Kentucky. Carl from Santa Maria, California. Rob from Snohomish, Washington. Washington's always got those interesting names. Jason from Tulsa, Oklahoma. John from Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Piet or Pete from Rotorua, New Zealand. Pronounced Pete. Oh, I should have read that note first. And Steven from Logan Reserve, Australia. You're all winners. The goodies are coming, friends. Keep telling others about the Living Waters podcast.